Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
I'm Ryan Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
Okay, so there seem to be two pretty clear tiers at the top of the ACC. You've got Clemson, of course, in a tier of their own, and then two teams in that second tier, which brings us to our question. Question number 17 of our 2021 College Football Preview Series. Is North Carolina or Miami the biggest threat to Clemson in the ACC? So let's start by breaking down Miami. And Ryan, what do you think of their offense?
There's a lot to like about what Miami's got coming back this year on offense. If it wasn't for Derek King's torn ACL at the very end of last year in the bowl game, I'd be very, very, very high. Still really high, but that's a concern, considering he might not be 100% to start the year. Who knows? Who knows how he'll recover? Hopefully he is. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, I mean, they lose Brevin Jordan, a really good tight end, but they got a good one backing him up. So Mallory was going to step in and do really, really well for him. So other than that, that's it. You know, they got everybody else coming back, three solid receivers return, and they bring in a transfer, Charleston Rambo from OU, played a lot there, did well. So King is going to have a lot of good options to throw to. I like the running back and Cameron Harris. It's going to be a good offense. They impressed me last year. Rhett Lashley did a good job. Derek King, of course, we were high on, did well. So it's hard not to be excited.
Yeah, and that's the key. I mean, having a full season of gelling with his weapons, and I'm talking about Derek King, with his weapons in that Rhett Lashley system, there's no reason that this offense can't be good or they were good last year. There's no reason they can't improve. I mean, they finished the year in the upper third of the country in most offensive metrics, considering that the year before under Dan Enos' system, they were pretty dreadful. So that was a very encouraging sign for Miami fans in year one of Lashley's system. And then, you know, you mentioned Rambo. That's going to be really important because on the opposite side, you got one of Miami's all-time best receivers in Mike Harley. I think opening it up for either side so they can't key in on one is only going to help Derek King. The historical issue with Miami has been their offensive line, but they took a leap last year. And maybe the most important player on the team this year is Zion Nelson. He's the left tackle to protect King. He might be a little, you know, not 100% in those first couple games. So having him protected can only help because last year that offensive line made big improvements and it should be this year.
Yeah, and they're bringing Navon Donaldson back at guard, who was out for most of last year, pretty much all of last year with injury. So I like the offense if King's healthy. The defense was exposed in a few games last year. It did not play well against the best offenses they faced. And Manny Diaz officially takes over as defensive coordinator, so hopefully that'll help things. The good news is that 16 of the top 18 players in terms of snaps are back from last season. The bad news is the two that are gone are Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche, the two defensive ends, who combined for 30 tackles for loss and 12 and a half sacks. So that hurts, but still a lot of production back. They also, you know, D-line should still be good. They add DeAndre Johnson, a transfer from Tennessee, as a pass rusher. The secondary is very deep. Adding Tyreek Stevenson from Georgia was a gift. Yeah. He was going to be one of Georgia's best corners, so that's huge. Bubba Bolden leads a good group of safeties. I think it should be a good defense, especially if the front seven can just get a little better against the run, or a lot better, and some of those young defensive ends step up, which you would expect. Like Manny Diaz develops defensive ends like crazy there. So, yeah, I think it should be solid defense.
Yep, I'm with you. We're talking about those defensive ends you're mentioning. I think Jafari Harvey could kind of be that one of those guys that steps up on that edge and provides a good pass rush. So, but I like the interior too. I mean, you were kind of mentioning that, but a little struggle, maybe a tiny bit against the run. But Nesta Jade, Silvera, and Jonathan Ford, they're both back. I like them. So, and then Gilbert Frierson on kind of that hybrid kind of role. I think he could kind of be a breakout playmaker for them. So there's a lot to like as far as what they do have coming back. I know last year was disappointing and they didn't play well against the good teams, but they weren't bad overall. Like, this wasn't a bad defense. It was a drop off from the previous couple years that they've had, for sure. But I think they'll get back to that a little bit this year. I don't know if they'll be quite the elite way they were in 2019, but I think they'll be closer to that than they were in 2020.
Yeah. So that kind of leads us to their schedule. And it's about as difficult as it comes in the non-conference. They play Alabama to open the season. And then they host App State, who we know is no slouch. Week three, it lets up a little bit, but they still have to play Michigan State. But as far as their goals within the ACC, the schedule is a little bit more manageable. They avoid Clemson, which, of course, is huge. They also get, I think, three of their toughest games at home in NC State, Virginia, and Virginia Tech. I should caveat that. They do have to play at North Carolina in mid-October. And that game, of course, could decide the Coastal. But overall, the schedule sets up decently for them in the conference.
Yeah, and for that North Carolina game, they do get a bye before it, so that helps with that probably being the game of the year in the Coastal. Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to the other contender, North Carolina. And, we'll start with their offense. And Sam Howell, of course, maybe the best quarterback in the country. But this is just kind of an interesting group to predict because Howell is going to be without his top four weapons from 2020. 2,000-yard rushers and his top two receivers. So at running back, they brought in Ty Chandler from Tennessee as a transfer to bolster that group, so that's a big help. And at receiver, I think they should be fine too. Bo Corrales was on pace for a very good year last year before he got hurt. He's back. Coffrey Brown was good as a deep threat. He's De'Ami Brown's little brother. So he could break out. And the guy who I think is the biggest breakout candidate, Josh Downs, was a true freshman last year, top 100 recruit. And in the Orange Bowl, he put up, I think, 91 yards and two touchdowns, had a big game. So it's tough. I mean, those are some big weapons that they lost to the NFL, but you would think with Howell, they'll still be great.
Yeah, because that's it. Because they return the entire offensive line, so the protection is going to be better. The ground game, while those running backs are good, they're going to have probably a little bit bigger holes with the combined experience that they have among the O-line. They have 112 starts coming back along that offense. That's an insanely high number. So the experience is there. I trust Sam Howell, and I think those wide receivers are going to be good. So I'm not worried about this offense whatsoever. I think it's going to be neck and neck, maybe a touch behind Clemson as far as, top of offense in the conference.
Yeah.
All right. How about the defense, Trey?
Yeah, and that offense that you guys just talked about, that has really helped mask the defense, because defensive coordinator Jay Bateman, he really needs a big year, because that offense might not be at the same heights it's been in the last couple seasons, and this defense hasn't been that great. They were 53rd in SP Plus defense last year. They lose a major impact player like Chaz Surratt. But with that being said, there's a lot of production that returns. Corner Storm Duck didn't play much last year due to injury. His return should help, especially since on the opposite corner, you had Tony Grimes. He had a great freshman season. The thing with the defense is they need more takeaways and more tackles for loss, because last year they were in the bottom in those two categories, at least of the ACC. Also, the red zone defense can be kind of random, but that wasn't good, so that needs to improve this year. But one thing Mac Brown has done is he's addressed the size and the agility of the line, and he's really made an effort on that in his first few recruiting classes, and they think it's going to pay dividends. He even said this offseason that he likes that position. He thinks they're as deep as they've ever been. So I don't think the defense can regress, but how big of a step can they take forward is the big question.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But I do think they have some playmakers there. I think the corners in the secondary are going to be pretty darn good. You said Storm Duck, Tony Grimes. That's a really good duo. A third guy who play a lot of nickel will be Kyler McMichael, who played pretty darn well for them last year at times as well. So those three guys in the secondary are really stable. Miles Murphy, I'm looking forward to a big jump from him. He was a big recruit out of the 2020 class, four-star, not to be confused with the Miles Murphy from Clemson. But he's going to be a good player as well. So they do lose Chaz Surratt, like you said, but Eugene Asante, he was a big recruit a couple years back too. He was kind of waiting in the wing, so I think he's going to do a pretty good job filling in for him. Overall, I think this group will get a little bit better. But I don't think they're going to be elite or anything, like you said, but they don't need to be. I think they're going to have such a good offense that if they just make a solid improvement, that's going to be enough to really be I was thinking more New Year's Six type.
I mean, I think that defense is going to take it'll take a pretty big jump forward just with the recruiting stacking up, getting Storm Duck back. I'm pretty optimistic. I know they were.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they could be pretty good. But let's get to the schedule. And, it starts off with a tricky one at Virginia Tech and Friday night. That's a Friday night game to start the season. So if they get by that, then they've got a great chance to start out 6-0 because the schedule lets up a little bit, and that'll lead them into their game against Miami, that game at home, which you know, of course, we brought up might decide the Coastal. They also avoid Clemson, just like Miami, so that's nice. They do have a couple of tricky non-conference games. They draw at Notre Dame, and they play against Wake Forest, which is odd that Wake Forest is a non-conference game.
The second time they've done that recently?
Yeah, I don't know if it was the same two teams, but that happens sometimes in the ACC. Weird, but yeah, overall, it's not an easy schedule, but it's manageable.
I agree with that. Yep.
All right. Are we ready to get to the final question then? Is North Carolina or Miami the biggest threat to Clemson in the ACC? What do you think, Ryan? Which one?
I am going to go with North Carolina.
Okay.
Mainly because, you know, both North Carolina and Miami are behind. Well, no doubt about it, Clemson. But I think North Carolina has the highest upside with Sam Howell. If those playmakers on the outside, running backs and wide receivers for Howell step up and kind of at least don't have too huge of a drop-off, then it's going to be an elite offense, and Sam Howell can take them to heights that I don't know that Miami can reach. And the defenses, I think they're going to be pretty even. I got to be honest with you this year. I think Miami's is going to get better. They weren't too far different from each other last year. But I think North Carolina's actually might be a tiny bit even better this year. But I just trust Sam Howell more in that offense.
I mean, if that's the case, if Carolina's defense is as good as Miami, that's a big check in North Carolina's favor.
Yeah. I think it'll be pretty close.
Yeah, I'm not going to call for it like that, but I will say I'm going to lean North Carolina, mainly because these two play in Chapel Hill. North Carolina just put up 62 on Miami last year when they played. But when I look at these two teams, I'm kind of deciding between, can Miami overcome the reshuffling of the defensive coaching staff and losing their pass rushers versus can North Carolina's offense not regress much with the loss of their key wideouts and running backs? And the way I answer it is I think Miami's offense should be legit, but I just think offensive coordinator Phil Longo on North Carolina, I trust him to help overcome those losses in the personnel. And I just think that them combined with Sam Howell is the reason I'm taking them over Miami in this case.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, this was a very tough choice, and you brought up last year that obviously North Carolina was ahead of Miami when they played, very much ahead. I don't think realistically they were really that much better than Miami. But I think it's closer this year because Miami's number one in the ACC in returning production. But yeah, I just trust Sam Howell a little bit more. We know he's healthy, of course, whereas De'Aaron King,
that's the thing too.
Still a little bit of a question mark there. So, and I don't know. I have faith in Jay Bateman with another year, with all this talent, the young talent getting older on the defensive line, Storm Duck back. So, yeah, I'm pretty high in North Carolina.
They might not get as, they won't get up as beat up in the non-conference as maybe Miami will, having to play a tough non-conference slate.
Could be true. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for checking out this episode of the College Football Bros. If you're a subscriber on YouTube, turn on notifications so that it'll let you know every time we post a new episode. And we will be back tomorrow talking about the dark horses in the ACC. So we'll talk to you then.
You've been listening to the College Football Bros. If you have any questions for the next podcast, email them to collegefootballbros@gmail.com. Keep up with the brothers on social media, like them on Facebook at College Football Bros, follow them on Instagram at College Football Bros, and for their commentary on Saturdays, follow them on Twitter at CFB Bros. Thanks for listening.